This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast.
This is the Holy Eucharist for Tuesday in Holy Week, March 26th, 2024.
Just have missed the mark if you're keeping everyone away. I didn't mean to, didn't want to. Well, we might just leave a mark if you don't give anyone a say. I never want to, never mean to. Every stone I've thrown is gone.
Good evening, everyone. Well, welcome to our Eucharist this evening. Our Eucharist is in the style of the banquet service, which is normally at 11 a.m. on Sundays, but today the banquet is at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday. So welcome. Some of you are familiar with our banquet worship and some of you are not. I'm supposed to do announcements at this time. I'm not going to do a bunch of announcements about things that are going on in the church because I think you all know what's happening this week. And I want to welcome those who are joining us online as well. Thank you for being a part of this. We've never live streamed a banquet service before, so we'll see how that goes tonight. But I do want to make a couple of just brief announcements about some things that have changed perhaps since the last time you attended a banquet service. There's two major things that I would want your sort of awareness of. One is that when our preacher is done preaching this evening, she will then open up the floor, and if anyone has any questions or comments or thoughts, you can raise your hand, and we'll give you a microphone, and you can ask. It'll be Joyce tonight, and you can ask Joyce any questions, or if there's something that she's said that has caused you to think that you want to add to that, or if she's uttered some heresies and you want to correct her, This is the space to do that. In the banquet, we sort of work under the idea that the sermon's not done until everyone's had a chance to contribute. So that's our thought there. Then, when the time comes for us to take communion together, at the offertory, we'll actually all go up to the chancel together and gather around the altar. You can kind of, if you are uncomfortable with that or have any mobility issues, you can stay seated if you'd like, or you can just come up to right here if you want, but otherwise you can come up right in here or anywhere around. We'll all be gathered around the altar during communion. It's a little bit hectic and chaotic, but then again, so is God and God's love, so we should be okay. So these are the main things that I want to let you know about. So with that, I invite you all please to stand, and we begin with the Great Commandment.
The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.
God, you have called us to love the world. We do not always recognize our belovedness.
We do not always recognize the beloved. Amen. The magnitude of your sins can never compare with God's immeasurable love. Out of the abundance of God's love, you are forgiven.
We say the canticle together. Come, let us return
to our God, who has torn us and will heal us. God has struck us and will bind our wounds. After 2 days, revive us. On the third day, restore us, that in God's presence we may live. Let us humble ourselves. Let us strive to know the Lord, whose justice dawns like the morning light. It's dawning as sure as the sunrise. God's justice will come to us like a shower, like spring rain that waters the earth. Please be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the book of John. Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came up from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was a thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the leader ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." After Jesus said this, he departed and hid from them. The word of the Lord.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. I can't get this out of my mind. So as Phil was describing how the service happens, we have a conversation at the end of the service. And it's occurring to me that I am going to give a very brief summary of Phil's sermon from yesterday. And if there's going to be any immediate correction,
it might be from me.
I think that may come from you, yes. But Phil's sermon yesterday was on the gospel reading related to Mary anointing Jesus' feet and then wiping them with her hair. And Phil talked about the intimacy of that scene. And he also talked about Jesus' vulnerability. And while I'd spent quite a bit of time with our gospel reading today, I started last night looking at it differently through that lens of intimacy and vulnerability. And the line that came out to me most strongly was, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Now my soul is troubled." Jesus is speaking with Andrew and Philip at the beginning of this reading, and they've come to tell him that there are some Greeks who want to see him. And instead of responding yes or no to this, and this happens several times in this reading, things just kind of seem to go right past the question and on to someplace else. But instead of responding, Jesus tells them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then he draws the analogy with the grain of wheat must fall to earth and die to bear fruit. He also goes on to tell them what may be hard for them and for many of us to hear is that those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I don't believe Jesus is telling them to hate their lives as much as he's saying to them, God has to come first. Our love of God has to come first. It begins with that. So then, after these words, comes this acknowledgement on Jesus' part, speaking to Andrew and to Philip. He's saying, "Now my soul is troubled. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour." In these words, he is sharing with two of the people he has journeyed with for quite some time at this point. He's sharing with them what he's feeling. His soul is troubled. That this is not something that is easy for him. This is hard. And how could it not be? How could it not be hard? The Son of God is also very human, very vulnerable. He cannot be complacent about the suffering his very human body is going to endure, the excruciating death that awaits him. And he is able to express this feeling of being troubled to those he knows so well. This is an act of intimacy and also an act of vulnerability. In the very next breath, Jesus expresses his complete commitment to this path. "No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour." And then, "Father, glorify your name." And then John's gospel tells us of the voice from heaven, how it says, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again," and how the crowds are now hearing this and they mistake it for thunder, or they say maybe an angel is speaking to Jesus. And Jesus tells the crowd, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine." And he speaks of the judgment of the world that is to come. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus is describing his own death, a death he understands as necessary for our salvation. So there's intimacy, vulnerability, and this deep commitment born of love. We see all three of these in this gospel reading. In our own lives, are there moments we want to shy away? We want to turn away. We want to turn inward. We want to avoid intimacy, avoid vulnerability, avoid any soul deep commitment to love. I certainly know I've been in those places of avoidance. It's part of our human condition and part of our conditioning. intimacy may be interpreted as dependence, as vulnerability or as weakness, as commitment to love may raise up the strongest sense of vulnerability. And yet we know love needs intimacy, of being willing to be present and close to another. Love requires vulnerability, being willing to be seen, to be transparent in our moments of fear or struggle. Love needs steadfastness to endure the challenges and complexities of individuals, of families, of communities. Intimacy, vulnerability, and steadfast love are interwoven. We see them often in times of illness, times of struggle, when someone may not feel able to do what they usually would be able to do, say following a surgery or following a long illness. And all of a sudden, there's a need for help. And most of us are much more comfortable doing things ourselves or being the helpers, but being willing to receive help, allowing that intimacy and that vulnerability to be transparent in the relationships in our lives is really an important movement towards deeper love. On the other side of that equation, sometimes we find ourselves put in a role of caregiver, and a role that we might never have fully anticipated. And I've seen this so many times that when someone is, say, caring for their parent, and the relationship with the parent totally changes because that person who was kind of in charge is now in need, and yet still frequently wanting to be in charge. And so again, it calls for that willingness to be intimate and to be vulnerable, and for that steadfastness of love. And I think of other times where we might find ourselves being vulnerable. I shared the story earlier today about my granddaughter who's going to become a teenager next week. But when she was 11, Christmas before last, we were on an island in the Bahamas. And I consider her pretty fearless. If there's a mountain, she wants to climb it. If there's a wall, she's at the top of it. I mean, she climbed up this hillside next to the beach, and she froze. At the top, she froze. She froze because it was sand. It wasn't hard stone like she was used to, where she could get her footing. It was sand. And her mom and dad and I were like, just going down. I can't. And I get that feeling. I immediately identified with that because I can think of other situations I've been in. One time in Ireland, when I was on a solid stone and I had a walking stick, but all around me were things that looked like crevices. And we'd been warned, it's so easy to break your ankle. And as I recall, somebody here did break their ankle in Ireland. Sorry about that, David. But this was a different trip for me. And being on that stone and just feeling like I can't move. Any place I move, it's risky. Feeling that vulnerable. In both those instances, we had people around. My granddaughter had her family to encourage her and to get up there with her and walk down with her. I had people to say, okay, you just go to the next stone. You just find the next near stone. You can do this. And I did. But I think that vulnerability, intimacy, steadfast love are just so deeply interwoven. And God seeks intimacy and vulnerability in relationship with us and allows us glimpses of what that steadfastness and love can be. In our humanity, we will sometimes struggle, but we need only to look to Jesus to be reminded of the path of love. Jesus, knowing what pain and suffering awaits him, seems to only move closer to those who walk with him. We will see this repeatedly in the coming days. Jesus sees his disciples as they are, not as he might want them to be, but he sees them in their human frailties. And yet he continues to be present to them, to be vulnerable with them, to prepare them for what is to come, to give them every assurance he can, and to promise them that while he cannot make their path easy, that by following him, by walking with him, they will be with him and have eternal life. Jesus ends his words to the crowd with this: "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." Jesus' time is drawing near. As we walk with him this week, we will become increasingly aware of the urgency in his tone and the steadfastness of his love. Believe in the light so that you may become children of light. Amen. Now, I welcome any thoughts you have about any aspect of the reading, any thoughts about Jesus, intimacy, vulnerability, any thoughts on anything.
I am going to go first, actually. I have my hand up. I have my own microphone, too. I'm not going to correct anything you just said. I'm amazed by this, and I'm actually really grateful for your connection from the intimacy we discussed last night in the service to this vulnerability of God and of Jesus. What you made me think of during your sermon mm-hmm. was how I think oftentimes Christ's passion was sort of presented to me in the past, maybe growing up. I don't want to belittle my previous Christian tradition, but maybe just what I'm used to thinking about is how we're supposed to look at Jesus' suffering and sort of go, can you believe he went through all that? Or he did that so we don't have to. Or something that sort of elevated him even further away from us, as mm-hmm. if Christ is already so magnificent, so miraculous, and then his suffering is so beyond anything we could comprehend. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways, the passion was meant to elevate him beyond our understanding. And I think what's happening to me and it's only Tuesday, we'll see what happens Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but what's happening to me this year is the opposite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that Christ's suffering is an act of vulnerability that actually draws us nearer rather than pushes us further away.
Mm-hmm.
And that in that suffering, we can, rather than go, no one could ever suffer like that, we go, I know a little bit about pain. It might not be that exact one, but I know suffering, and mm-hmm. I know what it's like to feel vulnerable and scared, to wonder what the next step will bring, mm-hmm. and how to walk in that light while it's still light. So I'm really grateful, actually, for your reflection in its, this is a text that I never would have associated with vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
but now I can't unsee it. The idea of him being lifted up, in my mind, always symbolized again this elevation beyond our understanding. Mm-hmm. But now it's this, he's being laid bare, and he's being made vulnerable, and in that vulnerability we can see God.
Yeah.
That's where I'm really grateful for that. Thank you.
I'm grateful for your words last night.
That's a good team.
It took me in a very different direction. But now I can't unsee it either. I mean, afterwards, I just couldn't see it otherwise. Herschel.
I also
have your own mic.
I also have my own mic.
You are powered.
Somebody has to be some mic. I like Jesus' vulnerability because it also sort of highlights the darkness that he had to endure in the world. Him being laid bare on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see it right there. You see him mm-hmm. beaten and mocked. And so him dying, and he probably didn't suffer as some people have in their own lifetime. I agree with Phil when people do that with Christ. But his suffering did reflect mm-hmm. something that he was to overcome mm-hmm. and that God did overcome. And so, yeah, I thank you for sort of highlighting his vulnerability. But even in his vulnerability, he still was able to remain obedient because he knew that, I don't know. My understanding of Jesus going to the cross is, I think it's evolving too. And he had to die. He had to die in a way that he did to sort of expose the evils of the world in a way that it exposed the evils, not because there had to be this transactional, substitutional thing that we were kind of taught growing up. Mm-hmm. So how Jesus mixed that vulnerability with that obedience is also, I think, was also remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. One of the commentaries I was reading, which really shifted me to the vulnerability position, was they were talking about how some theologians had struggled with this idea of Jesus being troubled. And my thought was, how could he not be troubled? You know, and particularly when we really align with Jesus' humanity, how could he not be troubled? So, yeah. And that goes, I think, to that point about how so often Jesus is kept at a distance from us and lifted higher from us. And yeah. Any other comments? David.
I think he's trying to explain to his crowd what's going to happen to him in terms that they can't relate to. How can this happen, you know, dying, rising? They've never seen anything like this. And so it's a leap of faith in, I think, trying to understand it, what it really means. Because how can you relate to what's going to happen if you've never witnessed it? If I heard that, what's he talking about?
Yeah.
But it all came to pass.
That was very much the tone we heard from the comments in the crowd saying, how can this be? Yeah. Any other questions, comments? Anyway, thank you all.
And let us reaffirm our faith as we say the baptismal covenant together. God is one God, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. God is Jesus Christ, your eternal Son, divine and human, our Savior. His death and resurrection revealed to us that God is love. God is Holy Spirit in the world, speaking through the prophets past and present, inspiring us, holding us accountable, leading us to grow into the full stature of Christ. With God's help, in apostles' teaching, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. With God's help, to err in resisting evil, and when falling into sin, we will repent and return to God. With God's help, claim thy word and example, the good news of God and Christ. With God's help, we'll seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And with God's help, strive for justice and peace on all people and respect the dignity of every human being. God of hope, help us who struggle in our daily life and work. When we lose our purpose,
renew our remembrance of you.
When we bow to hatred,
renew our trust in you.
When we take offense at others,
renew our life in you.
When we compromise our values,
renew our faith in you.
When we cherish regrets, when we surrender to sorrow,
renew our joy in you.
As we accept your love ever new and offer our prayers unto you. Hold us and all people in your loving care. God of hope, from you come every blessing and all peace. Show us that in the midst of our struggles, you are with us. Give us the abundance of your grace that we may do the work you give us to do, and that we may be before the world a sign of your presence. Through Christ, the way and the truth. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Okay, my friends, as the music begins, and you're welcome to sing along to the next song, when you hear the music begin, we're going to start to move up towards the altar together, and you can use the ramp if you need to, or come up the stairs.
Just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just a going. this form will rest beneath the sod. I'll drop the cross of self-denial and enter in my home with God. I'm going there to see my Savior, who shed for me his precious blood. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over home.
My friends, you have some lines here. You're the ones who speak in the bold words. So, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Mother of our salvation, you are worthy of blessing and praise.
You speak of creation comes to life. You breathe and we are filled with your Spirit.
You come with healing in your wings. You loosen the bonds of sickness to let the oppressed go free.
You shelter the poor and hungry bread of life, and when the night is darkest, you break it upon us like the dawn.
Now we give you thanks that you have shown the greatness of your love by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our fragile flesh and bear our every burden. Your Son, Jesus, did not turn his face from shame and loss, but took up our suffering and death.
He suffers with the sick, the injured, and the dying by his passion and death. He rescued us from evil.
On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared supper with his friends. He blessed bread, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "This bread is my body, given for you and for all humankind, making covenant between us. Whenever you eat it, remember me." And then he blessed the wine and said, "This is the cup of life, my blood, poured out for all, making covenant between us. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Now, whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the healing power of your Son, by whose wounds we are healed. Give us your power so that we may praise you and bless you. We praise you, we bless you, and we give thanks to you, Lord our God. We celebrate the healing power of Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection in these gifts of bread and wine. Now send your Spirit upon them, that they may become his life-giving body and blood. May Christ, the risen Son, rise in us and make us one with you and one with each other and one with all creation. Even now Christ stands with us, and in Christ's presence we see new life, where our pain and sorrow is transformed into the glory of your kingdom, where with Mary and all the saints we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Take away
be what you see and receive who you are, the body and blood of Christ. Friends, I invite you now to stand with me as you are able, and we face the rear of the nave, we face into the world, and we pray together the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. God, we pray you graciously to behold this your family for whom Jesus was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
God, show our hearts your way.
and we shall follow.